Man, Deuteronomy chapter number 2, verse 7, one verse of scripture. Deuteronomy 2 and 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thine hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee, and thou hast lacked nothing. You can be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of the Lord. I read something today that was comical. I thought it was. This woman said it was her first time to cook a turkey. And she was getting everything ready. And she told her husband and son, said, if it doesn't come out right, I don't want to hear any complaints or gripes. And I said, just go get in the car and we'll go to a restaurant and eat. So she come out of the kitchen with the turkey on the platter and walked into the dining room, and there sat her husband and son with their coat and hat on. So I don't know what your Thanksgiving's going to be like, but I hope your turkey is good. And if you can find somewhere to eat out, then that might be even better. I don't know. It depends on who's cooking. It was one Thanksgiving day that my family was seated around the table. They were looking at the turkey that was there in the middle of the table. From the oldest to the youngest, they began to express their thanks and praise. It came time for the five-year-old to say something, and he began looking at the turkey and began to express his thanks to the turkey, saying he had not tasted it, but he knew that the turkey was going to be good. And then he thanked his mother for cooking the turkey. And they thought he was through, and he thanked his dad for buying the turkey. And they went to go on, and he proceeded. He thanked the checker at the grocery store who checked out the turkey. He was thankful for the stock boy that put the turkey in the cooler. He thanked the farmer who fed the turkey and made it fat. And they thought he was through, and he thanked the farmer that raised the feed. He thanked the man that took the turkey to the store. He was using all of channeling everything that he could get his little mind wrapped around. And he had traced this turkey all the way back to its origin. And he looked with a calmness in his voice and said, did I leave anybody out? His seven-year-old brother said, God. He looked at him just calm and unflustered and says, I was just fixing to get to him. That's a question that I've come to ask this congregation tonight, when we ought to think and what we ought to think at Thanksgiving time. Are we going to get to him this Thanksgiving? Is there going to be thankfulness? That's what I want to, just one word, thankfulness. That's what I want us to look at for just a little bit. And thank you for being here. There's a lot of people that will not give thanks in the proper way. Every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. If he picked you up and turned you around, it's a day of thanksgiving. If he delivered you from a life of sin, it's a day of thanksgiving. If you've been baptized in his name, it's a day of thanksgiving. If he's healed you, if he's protected you, it's a day of thanksgiving. If he's provided for you, it's a day of thanksgiving. If you can feel his presence in this place right now, it's a day of thanksgiving. It's not just the turkey and the dressing, the sweet potato casseroles, or whatever it may be that you may have. But every day ought to be a day that you pause at some point and you give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords thanks for everything that he has done on your behalf. If it hadn't been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I thank him for everything. There's nothing that falls short of thankfulness today. It doesn't matter how discouraging it may be, what may have come against you. It is, in all things, give thanks. In all things, give thanks. Not just his blessings right now, but when it didn't seem like a blessing, you ought to thank him. When it seemed like the world had come against you, you ought to thank him. When it looks like you're at the end of the rope and you're trying to figure out how to tie a knot in the end of it, you can just swing there, you ought to thank him. Because every day, not just the last Thursday of the month of November, but every day is a day that I thank him. I'm glad that I've been redeemed by blood divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. My all to him I now resign. I have been, and I thank him for his redeeming power. I thank him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. May it not have been November. May it not have been a four-day weekend. They probably were not greeted by Indians, and they didn't feel like settling down because they're walking through the wilderness. I'm sure there were no brass buckles and there was no big black hats that they wore. But the people of God that I read in our text had much to be thankful for. And Moses reminded them of what they so easily and often had forgot. 40 years before this day, God delivered them from slavery in Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, and nothing short of the miraculous that had happened that set them on a course for even better things, and they are on their way to the promised land, though not far away. The Bible says that they were 11-day journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir into Kadesh Barnea, and it came to pass in the 40th year. Can you imagine being 11 days away from a promise? 11 days away from a place that flows with milk and honey. 11 days away, and for 40 years, you wander in a wilderness because of unbelief. It's time to get rid of unbelief and put on that thinking that, God, you can do anything, everything, whenever you choose to do it. And how you choose to do it is okay with me. If you lead, I'll follow. I'm not going to let the negativity of somebody that does not believe that God is still in the miracle working business deprive me of something that God has in store for my life. He still performs miracles. He still delivers people. He still sets the captive free. And you just a dollar late and a day short to come in here and to try to convince me otherwise. He's still in the miraculous working business. And if you will just thank him on a Tuesday night, and not just because it's a couple of days away from what we've set aside for Thanksgiving, but beginning to thank him for everything that he has done, and watch what happens in your life as the miraculous begins to happen every day. Kind of reminds me sometimes of, you say, I'll be right back, I'm gonna run up to the store, and you're gone for 4 or 5 hours, and you walk in and the missus looks at you and goes, where have you been? You know, these quick trips, something always happens. These were God's children. They quickly forgot his wonderful works, and they were focusing on the negative. They focused on what they didn't have, murmuring, complaining, not being thankful. And God allowed them to turn an 11-day scenic tour into a 40-year grudge match. You got to imagine. Let me tell you what, you start complaining against God. Little girl sitting at school, and the teacher says, I'm an atheist. How many of you are atheists? And all the little kids wanted to be like the teacher, so they all raised their hand but one little girl. Teacher looked at her and said, you didn't raise your hand. She says, I sure didn't. Why didn't you? She said, because I'm a Christian. Said, well, why are you a Christian? Said, because my mama's a Christian and my daddy's a Christian, so I choose to be a Christian. Teacher looked at her very, got off with that she was being stood up by a kindergartner, and said, well, if your mama was a moron and your daddy was a moron, what would you be? She said, I'd be an atheist. I don't care what's coming against you. I don't care what kind of onslaught that the adversary has put in your path. I don't care what kind of stumbling block you've had to crawl over. I don't care what kind of serpent you had to walk across to get in here. It don't bother me tonight what kind of hell you went through. When you walk through the doors, you ought to enter in with some praise and with some thanksgiving. Oh, bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually. You have a right to praise him. You have a right to praise him. You have a right to thank him. There's some of you, you're first generation Pentecost, but you have a right. It's not because of mama and daddy, grandma, grandpa, aunt, or uncle, but it's because he's redeemed you and he's washed you with blood. And that black sin that was a hold of your life, you're now white as snow, waiting for his return. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God forbid that we get to the place that we're not thankful. That a hole generation has to die out. Just God forbid that I get to the place that I'm unthankful, and before my children can experience the blessings of God, they gotta wait for me to die so they can experience something. Lord, what a bad place to be in. Just because I didn't believe that he could take care of some little insignificant, it looks like a mountain to us, but in the eyes of God, he just simply says, knock and it will be open. Seek and ye shall find. Ask. What you asking for? I want my kids, I want my grandkids, and I hope I'm around long enough to torment great-grandkids. That's a long ways off, especially when you got a 9-year-old, 2 5s, a 3 and a 2. I think that's the right order. 2 6, a 6, a 5, one fist to be 6. I was thinking about the, you know, I got a 9, a 6, a 5, a 3, and a 2. I hope I'm here long enough to irritate Cameron's kids. But I want them to know that, like David said, I was young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the seed begging bread. When I go to him with faith believing and with a heart of thankfulness, that something begins to happen in my life. They didn't have turkey to eat, I'm sure. But they had eaten quail for decades now. They didn't have gravy. They didn't have noodles. They didn't have stuffing. But they had prepared manna every way possible. They had fried manna, boiled manna, pickled manna, breaded manna, baked manna, reduced fat manna. They had gluten-free manna. They had manna on the half shell. They had banana manna. They probably even had pineapple upside down manna. They were tired of manna. You ever ate something so much of that you just really didn't want no more of it? That's why some of you's going to be Sunday. Somebody's going to walk in here so full of turkey. And don't forget to set your scales back 10 pounds before you go to bed. Some of you walk in here looking like a butterball. But you got to imagine 40 years of manna. There's times, there's nobody in here, I challenge you, there's nobody in here, including G, that loves a good hamburger any more than I do. But there comes a time that I don't want no bread. That's really what manna was. It was like somebody said it was like angel food cake. That may be why I don't like it. I must be a descendant. Well, I am grafted in. And Moses says, let's take some time to recount all that God has done and things we don't need to forget, but we need to stop and give thanks. He says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. He says, God has blessed you. I challenge one person in here to stand up and tell me God hadn't blessed you. Because he's blessed everybody in here. God's province, it was gratitude that prompted. There's a story that I read of an old man that would go to the pier And he would walk out to the pier, look into the sunset. And he would walk back and he would pick up a bucket of shrimp. And he would sit there and he would begin to feed the seagulls and the birds that would come around him every day. And somebody asked him what happened. And their plane had got shot down in one of the wars. And they had clung on to a raft for so many days. And they realized that their food and water had been exhausted. And they knew that they needed help, and that all this time, and while they were laying there sleeping in the little blow up raft that they had, something bumped him on the head, and here they are hundreds of miles off the shoreline, and a seagull landed, and he reached and got that seagull, and they was able to eat from that seagull and to fish and to survive. And he made a purpose that he was going to give back. And so he would go, and after fighting the water and the weather and the scorching sun, and they had spent so many sleepless nights, and he would go and he would begin to give back to what had saved him. God knows what things you have need of before you ask. He's made us. He knows us inside and out. But our perception is so different where God is concerned that we forget his benefits so easily. That we get the attitude sometimes, what's he done for me lately? Two old men sitting talking, and one of them said, what's the matter with you? He said, what in the world has happened? Said, you look so down and out. He said, well, my uncle died, and he left me $40,000. That's a lot of money. He said, well, that's not. He said, but 2 weeks ago, my cousin died and left me $85,000. Sounds like you've been blessed. He said, but you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away and she left me $250,000. Well, why in the world are you looking so gloom? What is the matter? This week, nothing. I'm looking at people here tonight. You walk in here like somebody has killed your pet cat. Strung up your pet dog. Because you forget. And I look in the mirror and I think to myself, God, please don't never let me forget what you've done for me. Don't let me walk in with the attitude, God, nothing good's happened to me this week. You've put breath in my body. We get where we have that entitlement mindset that has so took a hold of our society on almost every level. But Psalms 103 and 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. All his benefits. You see, through God's perception, he knows. He knows what he's done for you. Moses says, don't forget God's plan. Psalms 37, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Whatever path you're taking, you need to give God thanks. You need to praise him for it. I heard the story of a man, and it was a bad flood that happened in Mozambique, and they were watching as people were being washed away and just a collapse, and families were separated, and this one minister by the name of Samuel, he and 16 others had so hung on to limbs and things trying to save themselves, and they was so weary from fighting the current and that was trying to wash them away. And he told them, he said, "Well, I'm a preacher, let me preach, and that'll help us stay awake." That didn't work. It didn't work then, it don't work now. Man went to sleep while the preacher was preaching. His neighbor sitting behind him hit him with a song book. I probably told it, but he said, "Hit me harder, I still hear him." There's just some things you can't sleep at night. You don't have to take some kind of drug. Start reading the Word of God. Start praying. You'll drool on your Bible. You'll go sound asleep. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to realize the importance of what can happen from the Word of God. But he said, I began to preach, trying to help them stay alert. And they listen, they would watch as things were floating by. And dead cows began to float by. And he says, all of a sudden, there was a swarm of mosquitoes. And he says, I begin to thank God for the mosquitoes. You know, a lot of times we wonder, and I've heard the question, there was just a few things, that why did they allow it on the ark? You know, a male and a female mosquito, cockroach, you know, just few things that you just really wonder about. He said, I begin to thank God for the mosquitoes. He said, because they were so bad and they were biting us so much, he said, that we couldn't go to sleep. And he said, they rescued us. I wonder if anybody could just say, God, I thank you for the mosquitoes. Because there's things in life that just comes along and just irritates you. Buzz around. That they bite you. It gnaws away at you, trying to drain the life out of you. But what you think is something that is going to take you out, God has brought it in to keep you alert, that you can give him thanks. He says, I want you to remember God's purpose. Because you went through this great wilderness, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. See, God has a purpose for everything. He wants you to know that, he said, I want you to know that God has patience. I don't even have to look at this auditorium or this congregation tonight to know that God has patience. I can pick up my phone and flip the camera around and look at it and go, he's got the most patience with that guy that's staring back through that little camera. I'm glad for the mercy of God. And ever how long it takes. You see, when it comes to patience, our God is the ultimate. Because he's put up with me, he's put up with you. How can he still be willing to work on me? Because he's got a plan. He's got a purpose for me. How patient he is. He said, don't forget God's presence. The presence that they knew that God was there was a pillar of cloud. It was a pillar of fire. Hebrews 13 and 5 is a scripture that we quote so much. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, I want you to remember God's provisions, because thou hast lacked nothing. There are some things that you didn't get that you wanted, but nothing that you needed has God withheld from you. Thy raiment did not wax old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell for these 40 years. Psalms 34:10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You ought to remember that. If you seek the Lord, you shall not want any good thing. We need to be thankful. But I wonder how many of us, I ask again, as I started out this lesson tonight, how many of us will be like the nine in Luke chapter 17 when the one returned and began to give him thanks when he says, "Was not there 10? Where is the nine?" I can't answer for a lot of folks tonight, but I'm preaching to the one that walked back in here on a Tuesday night after you've been raked over the coals on Monday and Tuesday, and you wanted to just, what little bit of sanity you had left, you wanted to leave it all in the boss's office. Oh, Lord, everywhere I look, people started laughing. Has it been that bad? I will never leave thee. I will never forsake you. And you walk in here tonight, and you can't answer where somebody else is. But you've come in here on a Tuesday night, and you said, "God, with a heart of thankfulness, and with hands of praise, and a voice of adoration, I worship you. I magnify you. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done." I think it's in order just to lift our hands right now. Brother Brokaw, would you come to the music? I'd like to sing that old song. Just wanted to tell you, I'm thankful for all that you've done, for everything, God, for all things, for it is the will of God to give thanks. Thank him for everything. In all things give thanks, for it is the will of God in your life.